Olasil. This morning, of course, we'll return to awareness of awareness, which again is like the fast lane of the Autobahn in terms of just the directness, to realizing the substrate and possibly going beyond that to realization of Rigpa. Just checking up in this teachings of Dujom Lingpa about the clear light of death, found it kind of interesting. It was refreshing my memory. And that is, in the dying process, following the blackout, where all you're left with is the substrate. And if you've not achieved shamatha, you're probably just blacked out, like general anesthesia, not experiencing anything. But following that, as many of you know, is the clear light of death. And Dujom Lingpa, who actually knows what he's talking about, unlike me, he commented that if one has already had some genuine realization in the breakthrough, is really truly an accomplished breakthrough or tekchu practitioner, then of course you may, when that arises, you'll recognize it and be able to sustain that recognition, that non-dual recognition, your rigpa, knowing rigpa, pristine awareness, knowing pristine awareness. And he said, if, and as a measure of this, it's quite interesting, if while you're still alive and well, if you can enter into the experience of rigpa and remain there for 24 hours straight, which would clearly imply shamatha, otherwise how would you possibly maintain that continuity, but 24 hours straight. So like jhana, but not just jhana focused on a nimitta or a Buddha image, but jhana focused on rigpa. He said if you can do that for 24 hours straight, then an indicator of that is when you enter into the clear light of death, you'll be able to remain there for 7 days. So it looks like a factor of 7 to 1. So that's when you see yogis and they're displaying the clear light of death at the end. Then you can draw inferences about the level of their samadhi and their insight, not just samadhi, based on how long they can remain in the clear light of death. However, there was another point equally interesting, and that is one may mistake when one is observing another person who has died and then remains for some time with no deterioration of the body and so forth, one may immediately, if they remain for days, one may immediately jump to the conclusion, oh, they must be highly realized Dzogchen practitioner. Not necessarily. He commented also about the substrate, that is when you slip into the substrate consciousness prior to the clear light of death. He says you may remain there, just in this blackout period, for 6 hours, or even up to 3 days. So a person looking on the outside, oh, amazing, amazing, this person has achieved realization of Rigpa. Maybe not, just hanging out in Deadville. You know, that, like, all you are is just dead, you know, really, really uninteresting. I mean, you're just in the substrate consciousness. Now, Nyajar Nambuchu told me, if you've achieved shamatha, then when the substrate comes up, you may be lucidly dead. And that could be useful. That is, be dead and know it. You know, get to enjoy it. Right. And that can last for as long as, I said, 3 days. Now, if one has not had realization, you may have realization of shamatha, experience shamatha, but if you've not had realization of primordial consciousness or rigpa, pristine awareness, then he says the experience of the clear light of death may take only as long as it takes to eat a bowl of food. Just, and I'm a fast eater, as I think you've all noticed, so... And then it finished. And then on into the bardo. Hasta la vista. So in the practice here, we're doing something, to my mind, incredibly interesting. And that is, not only is there the clear light of death, and then the bardo of ultimate reality, bardo of dhammata, very symbolic, archetypal, and then the bardo of becoming, which is the bardo, running around like a ghost, because you are. Then at the conclusion, when you die from the bardo, when you finally die from the bardo, your bardo is finished. It's past tense. That final moment, that intersection, the intersection, the bardo is just finished and you're just being conceived, let's say as a human being, for example. Right there, this is called the clear light of conception. The clear light of conception. It's again clear light. Once again, you get a chance. The clear light, pristine awareness, manifests. But if you have not realized it, then it'll just flicker right on by. And then it gets eclipsed, very much like the moon coming in front of the sun, just, and it goes black. It gets eclipsed by the substrate. Now, if you have realized Rigpa, even that clear light of conception is a possibility for gaining very deep insight, a portal to liberation, clear light of conception. If not, then it gets eclipsed by substrate consciousness, the blackout. And then out of this blackout and the very nature of the substrate for the ordinary person, non-lucid substrate. The very nature of substrate is ignorance. That is unknowing. It is unknowing of what? Unknowing of Rigpa. Not knowing of vidya. It is avidya, avidya. It's not knowing the nature of pristine awareness. Or, in Galupa terminology, not knowing the innate mind of clear light. It's the same thing. This is not a sectarian issue. There are sectarian issues. I tend not to focus on them. And so the rikpa, the innate mind of clear light, the clear light of conception, is eclipsed by the substrate for an ordinary person. And it's just flat out unknowing. And then out of that, because of past karmic stirrings, karmic energies, that gets catalyzed, it gets aroused, and out of that emerges substrate consciousness. Out of that emerges, coagulates, almost like cheese coagulating out of milk or whatever, it coagulates a sense of I am, and that's the klishtamana. It's given a name, this klishtamana, this afflictive cognition, where there's a sense of a congealing of I'm being over here, like a density of an observer over here, and now there's a distinction, observer over here, substrate over there, space over there, me over here, me, you space, something like that, you know, if you like Tarzan kind of thing. And then out of that comes this manas or yi, Quran. And this starts then to draw the distinctions, subject and object, with appearances start to come out, objectification, this object has these qualities, and then we objectify and subjectify mind and matter, subject and object, all different types of objects, all different types of subjective processes. And so in that process, then you're getting a human mind during the formation of the fetus, emerging out of the substrate consciousness. So there we are. There's a theory of consciousness one can actually test. Because scientifically, there is no theory of consciousness. Really, if a scientific theory is one that can be tested, they don't have one. They have a lot of ideas and a lot of hypotheses, but show me the one. I challenge anybody. Show me the one they can put to the test of experience. I've never seen it, and I have been listening. So here's one that can be tested, and how do you do it? So notice it was the substrate consciousness, to the congealing of I am, out of that, then this, that, and then everything else, to make a long story short. Right? And now what are we doing? We're going, number one, you know what's coming up very shortly here. We're going to be withdrawing the awareness from all appearances and from all objectification. Oh, Linda has blonde hair. So now it's an object there, a person who has a quality. Otherwise, it's just yellowish appearance. But no, she's a person. She has a head. She has hair. The hair has an attribute, and that is blonde, right? So now it's an attribute. So objectification. Now objects have the attributes, whereas before there was just appearances, a whole medley of appearances. So with withdrawing of appearances, withdrawing from objectification, withdrawing right into the substrate consciousness. But now in this next phase, we're going to do something for which Padmasambhava just gives a one-liner. He says, observe yourself. And that is, we'll withdraw from that, withdraw into consciousness. But now remember in that evolution from substrate to substrate consciousness to the coagulation of I am the observer. And out of that comes, I am the doer. We're going to come right back in and see if we can observe the observer. And see if there's anybody really in there. It's like calling down a tunnel. Anybody in there? Or is it just total vacuum? So we're rolling back the carpet. The carpet that rolled forward from substrate, activation of karma, substrate consciousness, I am, and then everything else. Now we're rolling it back. Rolling it back right to the substrate. Luminously, lucidly. And then if we keep on rolling, we might just actually roll it right back before the substrate into pristine awareness. And that's what Padmasambhava says of this practice that we're doing right now, this actually may roll it back right to Rigpa itself. You want to try it? Okay. Find a comfortable position. Shavasana is really appropriate, isn't it? Good old corpse position. We could call our Sangha the Sangha of the Undead. It has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? The undead. Settle your body in its natural state, the respiration in its natural rhythm, and calm your mind for a little while with mindfulness of breathing. Then let your eyes be at least partially open, your gaze cast downwards, in a sense of utter repose, relaxation, without taking anything as an object, not focusing on any appearances. Just letting your awareness be still in the present moment, without distraction, without grasping onto anything at all. Just be there. And then like the sun rising from behind your back, you may have this growing sense of the presence, the reality of simply being aware. Rest in that awareness of being aware, the knowing of knowing. Whatever images, however interesting, psychedelic they may be, whatever thoughts come up, however intriguing they may be, or upsetting, release them instantly, with no interest in any thoughts, any appearances, just an experience of being aware. Begin the oscillation. The arousal and focus of awareness in upon itself. The inversion. And then the release into non-objectivity. In and out at your own rhythm, conjoined with the breath if you still find it helpful. As you invert your awareness now, check carefully. Do you have a sense of being the one who is inverting and releasing your awareness? Are you doing it? Is your mind doing it? As you invert your awareness, invert it in upon the agent that is controlling the attention. And see what you see. Do you see any more? Do you see any less? Is there anyone in here? Invert and release. The more penetratingly you invert, the more fully you may be able to release. The more fully you release, the more deeply you may be able to probe into your very experience of being a subject, an agent. Perhaps this oscillation of inversion and release, seems to go of its own accord, like breathing, for which there needs to be no agent, just the breathing taking place. But now probe even more deeply, with or without controlling your attention, as you peer deeply within. Do you have a sense of being someone in here who is observing, who stands apart from appearances, a real subject, penetrate into that experience, observe the real observer, and see what you see. And release, setting your own rhythm. And for a little while, release the oscillation. Let your awareness come to rest right where it already is. Let it illuminate and know its own nature. Lasso. Especially in Tibetan Buddhism, we hear of many different yanas, takpa, as in vehicle, like shravaka yana. The vehicle of the shravakas that will take you, it's a vehicle that will take you from here to there. From here, samsara, to nirvana. Become an arhat. Stream entry, right on through. There's your shravaka yana. That's the shravaka vehicle. Then we hear about the mahayana, or bodhisattva yana. And here's a vehicle that will take you to Buddhahood, from here to there. Non-abiding nirvana, neither immersed in nirvana nor immersed in samsara, non-abiding. And there's the Vajrayana. Oh, big vehicle. Vajra vehicle. To achieve Buddhahood very, very quickly. But if one has not learned how to drive one's own mind, then how can you imagine you can ever learn how to drive the Shravakayana? A vehicle. Or learn how to drive the Mahayana, let alone drive the Vajrayana, if you keep on bumping into, as you're trying to drive your own mind, get the reins of your own mind, the steering wheel of your own mind, if you keep on bumping into laxity and excitation, like a little bumper car, like laxity, excitation, I'm focused, bye-bye, laxity. If you can't even drive your own mind, how can you imagine to ever drive the Shravakayana, Mahayana, Vajrayana? It's just bumper cars all the way through. So I think this is why Padmasambhava, when he was speaking of the Dzogchen view, the Dzogchen Yana, he said some people teach theory first and then meditation second. It's very common nowadays, very common. Also, become a good Buddhist theologian or Buddhologian. And then maybe get around to it. You might want to do some serious practice too. First the theory. That's the academic approach entirely. Get the theory, maybe practice, probably not. But Padmasambhava says, my path is to first establish meditative equipoise. And out of that, let the view emerge. And he was saying explicitly, go for shamatha first. And then the Dzogchen view. Otherwise, if you get introduced to Dzogchen, this is his words, not mine. It's mine only because I'm saying what he said. He said, if you get introduced to the Dzogchen view, get the pointing out instructions of Rigpa and so forth, before shamatha, he said, chances are really good. Just turns into an object of the intellect. You might have some flash, some really nice experience, and then it gets totally covered over with all your concepts, all that kind of stuff, and then it kind of just crystallizes around your previous experience that becomes an object of nostalgia, encrusted in concepts and memory, and then becomes an object of dogmatism. So, suggested maybe become sane first is a good idea. And that requires unwavering mindfulness, so let's do that. Until I see you again. So long, farewell. Da 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 dee dee dee.